Welcome back to Reflections. Your host, Jorge Gonzalez. And my guest today, Rosana Matienzo Carrion, the author of A Bordo del Normandy. And we're talking about the principal character for which the book is written, Don Felix Benitez Rexach. And we're talking about his in quote achievements, but we're not the materialistic ones. And so we talked this ship that he and comes up later, and mm-hmm. he names it after his wife. And they had like 40 tripulantes, 40 people,
exactly.
41 people to take care of the this ship.
It was a luxury tour in the ship, and there's a woman here, a wonderful woman called Reina Benitez, which it was in the 50s, but she used to be a travel companion, and together with her husband, with El Chinche Benitez, who was the ambassador or something like that in Taiwan, he loved to travel with his sister called Graciela. And this ship was like a luxury cruise, so much people tending the ship, and mm-hmm. it was everything was luxurious and fabulous. And they used to have that yacht in the Mediterranean. Mm-hmm. And like I said before, he was friends with Onassis, the great
the Greek. Oh, really?
yes, wow. He was a great friend, and they used to compete. In their ships in the Mediterranean, make competitions, and actually Onassis
competitions what regard?
Regard to speed, how fast they get to the places. Remember, at this time, planes were not that usual. The main way of traveling and moving around were ships.
Yeah.
So Onassis, who made ships, added a foot. to his personal yacht, so it would be longer than Don Felix.
Wow, that doesn't appear in his novel.
No, happened. Because
that was post the 10 years. Sure,
exactly.
Yeah.
That's where
you were tempted, but you didn't. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. That's what you were saying in the first segment. And then he had this ship was you said basically in Cannes.
Yes.
Yeah. So
yes.
And they had a place in Bagatelle what's that area of France?
In Cannes.
Yeah, but what, that whole area where he had the Bagatelle, the hotel. I mean, the house.
It was called
Provence, the area of Provence.
Provence.
I was thinking and then he had two places in Paris.
He had two places in Paris. He had a house near the George Sank, right in the center of Paris, which I visited, and it was an apartment building, but it was huge, and it was. Built by a very well-known architect.
Mm-hmm.
And then he also had a house in the outskirts of Paris called Villa del Carmen. And then he had this third house in Cannes, which was called Bagatelle.
Bagatelle, yeah.
And he loved Bagatelle.
Especially
Mono lived there during the time of the war, which he was in France.
Mm-hmm.
And Bagatelle was magnificent. Yeah. It was they were neighbors of the Periers. The Periers had a house uh-huh. next to them.
Uh-huh. The water czars. Yeah.
Had a house next to them, so you can see the quality of the people that he would hang around with.
Yeah.
And the richness of the. The prosperity of the environment,
the kind of money, yeah. And then of course, Escambrón Beach Club. It was the place. Right now, even when I was growing up, there were probably three places. Now there are 25 places.
Exactly.
But in that time, Escambrón was it, right?
You remember Escambrón?
Not the hotel. No, no.
But Escambrón, do you remember the beach?
Oh, the beach. Yeah. It's awful now. I went to see
awful.
I did this. I did the tour. Andy
How was
Rivera.
That? How
it was
that?
Excellent. Just absolutely excellent. I really recommend.
You told me yes. Yeah, I did it many times.
And learned a lot, and recommended. Andy Rivera was my guest, and I have him back, but. They have an excellent tour on the Normandy and Escambrón and Sixto Escobar and that whole area and how it's developed in the past and all. We talked about that.
So beautiful, last week. So beautiful.
But so let's see. And then he had he lived in the seventh floor of the Normandy.
He lived in the seventh floor.
The whole floor was his. No, he had two or three places. The seventh floor was it? The whole seventh floor was his.
It was the whole. I understand it was the whole seventh floor.
Okay.
He had there his offices.
He had Pedro Albizu.
He had Pedro Albizu Campo live in the. After he came out of jail.
But it wasn't the seventh floor.
It wasn't in the seventh floor.
So he had the whole seventh floor.
and he built that, like, I think he must have driven architect Raul Reichert nuts, because that seventh floor, for example, wasn't planned in the original blueprints. And he was there directing the construction. And he said, well, let's do a seventh floor, and there I will live. And... That was Don Felix.
Sí, that was Don Felix.
He would do these grand things in the midst of anything. And
so in terms of course that materialistic, I think we covered what he achieved, and in course of the awards he got, the awards he received,
uh-huh.
and then in terms of what would you say? Well, I think the most important, happiest moment, was when he got those awards.
Oh, yes.
Ciudad Trujillo was inaugurated at Ciudad, and then the port was successful, and
uh-huh.
And I think what made it really challenging for that port, because the sediment of the river kept on making very shallow way out into the ocean, so the ships would have to anchor way out,
exactly.
and to then not only dredge and so that you can do the port next to the city of Santo Domingo. It was Ciudad Trujillo for a while. Thanks.
For a long while.
But then you had to also, I imagine, stop the sedimentation that comes from the river Ozama. Ozama River. So it's and he wasn't initially successful in his this is a point I'm laughing now, because there are two stories that reflecting things. One of them is Tia Gadiola is the one.
Tia Gadiola.
And Tia Gadiola is speaking in English to Winship or the Tidings, to one of the governors, and speaking in English anyway, and explaining the rompeolas.
She says
that, let me see, it's page 262.
No, that's talking to Mrs. Roosevelt.
To Mrs. Roosevelt.
Sarah Roosevelt.
262. So let me find that.
Sarah Roosevelt,
give me a second.
Mother of Franklin Delano.
Give me a second. So he says, well, that's impressive, a man-made beach in the Caribbean, fue la respuesta de Mrs. Roosevelt. Well, not really, contestó la tía, sin darle mucha importancia al asunto. He's a very genial engineer, sabe? In Spanish, genial, which is clever and smart, and so to use the Spanish, instead of anglicismo, españolismo.
Exactly, exactly.
He's a very genial engineer. He also made a rompeolas in Dominican Republic to create the capital's fort. And then Mrs. Roosevelt says, remarkable. And then says, rompe what? And then it says, viró el cuello. And then she says, me reí cuando la tía contestó, a dick in the Ozama River. Which means, instead of meaning dike, she went, instead of dike. And then it reminded me, I was telling Rosanna after the program, I was laughing because it reminded my aunt, who lived in Paris for a lot and very, very elegant, Titi Carmen Luisa, lover. And it's Wanamaker. I couldn't remember the
Wanamaker. I told you, in Philadelphia.
So she went with her son, que paz descansa Paquito, the
lovely,
Wanamaker,
lovely
to
person.
Get something. And she goes up to the salesperson in Wanamaker and says to her, "says I want to buy some sheets for my beach house instead of sheets for my beach house." And pobre tío Paquito almost died. And he tells a story, and
wow.
So this thing about the dick in the Ozama River. That the other story that you had here that I reflected and laughed on, it was he always had Old Parr whiskey, and then and at one moment he says, but bring me the bottle, I want to make sure that I'm drinking what I'm supposed to be drinking, and it reminded me of a of an uncle of my roommate from Salvador, Chico de Sola, and this is his uncle would always bring pinch whiskey to all the parties, and you know, because he had and one day they decided to challenge him, so they put, you know, four different whiskeys, and he couldn't distinguish the pinch. So I'm saying, but he's at least admitting, you know, he has to drink Old Par, but bring me the bottle because I'm not sure. Okay, so what in terms of the moments that he really had, you know, I can think of two, but where does it, the moment where really got him down, and then how he within his life, how he recovered, how he was always very resilient and very mm-hmm. positive. But where were the couple of moments that he really was depressed and said.
Well, I think one of the moments he was depressed was when Trujillo had his office. He broke into his office, and I think that really gave him an idea of where he was, okay. of how this country was. There was no law, mm-hmm. and how he thought that he had Trujillo in his pocket, and he didn't have anybody in his pocket. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like Trujillo wanted to be sure that he wasn't stealing money, right. and I think that was one.
And how did he recover from that?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I find that he had the guts to confront Trujillo.
Oh, so he just faced the
thing. That he okay. just said how dare you do that to me?
Okay,
basically, mm-hmm. and I think that earned him a lot of respect. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking of another time.
Yeah, the one I'm thinking of is. When
he arrived back in Santo Domingo and the rompeolas
was he's building the bridge, was it, and the American comes in and violates the contract and kicks him out of the job.
Ah, that was terrible.
And he goes, and there, one of them where he was depressed, he said, you know, you say in the novel, he says, bring me my DC-3. He
said, let me get the heck out of here. Exactly.
But in terms of when he's kicked out of the job in Puerto Rico by the war, and they want to do it quickly.
Exactly.
And I'm not even sure what the job was, but they kick him up because
he was doing it to drain the Bahia of San Juan.
Okay, so they kicked him out of the job, and in his values, he goes to Ismael and says, get me a woman, you know, with big tits and big ass.
Exactly.
And that just takes care of me, and I don't have to do anything.
Exactly. I just want to lie there.
So
I could see him do that.
But he's resilient. He goes and he says, you know, work is critical, and you know, very disciplined. And one of the things in terms of discipline, which reminded me. And every February they would both Manon and it would
that's
be
true.
Abstinence for alcohol.
That's
which
very
is something
true.
I do.
And really?
He doesn't
you're
do
in Quaresma, you do that.
So I do it for discipline and for spiritual, but he just does it for discipline, and so they had that.
Yes.
So, Hector, how much do we need for to put on Manon so the people can. 1 minute? Okay, so we have about a minute, and then we'll put on the Mano, so we'll end up with that. One of the questions I had, but as I read through the thing, I find almost all the questions answered. I said, did he ever do exercise, you know? And then you have a section where, yeah, he used to walk a lot, and he was very... very slim, took really good care of himself physically, and walked, which is probably the best exercise there is. And with Mano, they would both walk for miles in Paris and all. And
before you put the record on Mano, I want to say that Mano was her name was Lucien Dotel, and that she was Don Felix Benitez Rezach's wife, and she was French. She was born in. Reims, where the huge cathedral is, and she used to be just a flower vendor in Montmartre. So she rose to the where she was, to being married to one of the richest men in the world, when due to marrying Mr. Benitez Rexach.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a very colorful person, and I think she added a lot to his life.
Yeah, he said that the woman is what really makes a man, at least the way he looked at a woman.
Not the way he looked at a woman.
So anyway, let's play that her singing, and you know, I hope you've enjoyed.
Thank you so much.
Lot to learn from listening and hearing. You know, these people that are in the past and have, you know, values that we can look at. Okay, here we are.
Il faut voir comment toutes les gonzesses ont essayé de me le soulever. Appel des yeux, appel des jambes, tous les trucs pour l'exciter. Mais mon petit homme me reste fidèle, il garde pour moi s'ignorer ses baisers. Oh, en me disant de tout est la plus chouette, jamais je te laisserai tomber. Et elle la main et son instrument, et pour moi toute seule et doucement. Il me joue l'accordéon, alors ses poussées trop fond. Je suis électrique, je deviens historique. Et puis c'est jamais fini, et je crois qu'il jouerait toute la nuit. Et son morceau est long, très long, oh quand tu joues toute l'accordéon.
Allegro WIPR 91.3 FM was proud to present Reflections, hosted by Jorge Gonzalez, reflecting on events with our well-being in mind.